Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, August the 3rd, 2026. 13 minutes past the hour, first show we've done in the month of August. Can you believe it? What is it now? 5 months left in 2026. Isn't that nuts to think there are only 5 months left in this particular year? You know, I know it's Monday because just when you think you're ready to do the show on a Monday morning, the weather report starts to play and you go to grab your headset and the cord is tangled all around the headset and you just barely get it untangled before the show starts. But I did make it before Ted Williams stopped finished up with his intro here this morning. Do want to mention this week our Ohio State Fair ticket giveaways will continue. A lot of great shows this week. Tonight it's for King and Country, which I believe is a gospel group. Tomorrow, August the 4th, is Nelly. August the 5th is Weird Al Yankovic and Puddle's Pity Party. August the 7th is Bailey Zimmerman and Lauren Watkins. I was told last week that that's a country group, I think. And then it all wraps up on Saturday, August the 8th, with Blues Traveler and Gin Blossoms with special guest Spin, which I think will be the biggest night of all. Now, there's a lot to talk about here today on the program. We've got the big city council meeting coming up tonight, and a lot going on there. But before we do that, we have a little bit of interview business to take care of here this morning. I've got about a 15-minute interview that I want to play with Tara Klensman, who's going to tell you about an opportunity for your children here in the Marion area. So let's hear from Tara, and then we'll come back and discuss everything else going on in Marion. Scott Spears here with you, WGH Talk Radio, and we are joined in the studio today by Tara Klensman. And Tara is going to tell us about a new development, a new organization, a new school here in the Marion area that I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to know about. Tara, so glad to have you in today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Rhema Academy.
Tara, what's your background here in Marion?
Well, I grew up here in Marion. I went to a local school, and then I went to Bowling Green State University, and I got my K-12 special education in Spanish. I did a lot of traveling throughout my life. I love to see Spanish-speaking countries and to get to know the people from the countries and the differences in their cultures. And I love to bring that back into my classroom. I loved teaching. I taught in the Marion City Schools for 19 years. And then I went to Elgin and taught there for 3. I homeschooled my youngest because I thought that time was going way too quickly. And throughout those years, I have allowed my own children opportunities in different educational environments. And one of them was a Christian environment, and I just absolutely loved that. But I noticed that the Christian schools were not as closely related to the public schools as I would like. So I did a lot of research. And over like the past 10 years, I've looked into classical education. And what I found is students thrive in that environment. And then putting Christian into that, it just puts everything all together.
What would be a good definition of classical education?
Okay, well, there's a lot of different schools that are starting around the country that have a classical education, and there are many different supporters of those schools. The one that we went with is called Hillsdale, up in Hillsdale, Michigan, and it's from Hillsdale College. And it's a very conservative classical school. And classical, I guess the best definition is they have the emphasis of the different stages of learning that the students go through from kindergarten through 12th grade. The first stage is called the grammar stage, and students are able to easily memorize, so we would offer them many opportunities to memorize their grammar and their concepts through songs, motions, putting visual kinesthetic patterns together to sounds, and it leads to a better reading skill. They also found that we can teach them to write cursive in the elementary school, so that's what we're going to do. The middle school years is called the rhetoric stage. They learn to argue their thoughts clearly and persuasively. And the upper levels, they take the knowledge gained, and this is the logic stage, and they develop critical thinking skills. They use the Socratic method, which asks probing questions to get students to think deeply and consider multiple perspectives and articulate their position. And then all these stages, they focus on not just what is taught, but how it's taught. So the process is just as important as getting the answer.
If you have a child, why would you think or know this is a good option for them?
Classical schools place high value on character formation, such as virtue, wisdom, justice, courage, and temperance. And they come out a well-rounded individual that can engage the world around them. And in our school specifically, we offer K through 8 Spanish, so they can also reach out to other cultures. And then also Latin. It gives you a really good base in understanding English. And I know that those things are not so common in schools these days. Also, we don't use computers except for testing. We know that the screens are not so good for the development of the students' brains. And so we're getting away from that as well. We just have to use them for testing. So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting when you mention Latin because, first of all, teaching it at such a young age, that's, I would think, beneficial because they say children pick up languages easier than the older you get. And usually in public schools, I think you don't even have the option until you're in high school.
That is correct,
yeah.
Yes.
But Latin in particular, I don't think it's spoken as the main language anymore, but of course it's used in a lot of things we do every day, like medicine.
Yes.
A lot of those are Latin terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's interesting that's available.
Yes.
Yeah. It used to be a major thing in schools, but it's nice to know it's making a comeback.
Yeah.
Do you find that the younger the children are, the better they pick up on language?
Yes, for sure. That's what I loved about the classical model is that they start language in kindergarten. They could start Latin in fourth and fifth grade. We are actually starting in ninth and 10th grade. But there's different models throughout that you'll see that that have languages in different age groups.
Mm. Now, your background in education, why education? Why did you go into that field?
Because I love teaching and I love children. And I knew that that is something that I wanted to marry, my love of language, love of culture. For me specifically, I wanted as many people to know how to communicate with other people of other cultures as much as they can.
When you hear people today, and I'm sure you've heard people say it, I don't know how I could be a teacher now. It's so different and it's so hard and
yes.
Kids are difficult. And so all the things they say, when you hear them say that, what do you think?
I think it really depends on the environment. Like I said, I've been in several different educational situations, and when I go to see a classical school, I see the environment is completely different. There's the yes ma'am, the no ma'am. There's the respect of one another. When you teach them who they are and whose they are in Christ, they'll know better how to behave. And when you put that bar high, they go to it. And when you expect different expectations, you'll have a different outcome. So I really think that it just depends on the environment that you're in and the environment that you create.
What was the process of getting this started in Marion?
It's a very long process.
I bet.
So it's been a long process of researching and wanting to know exactly what kind of school we wanted and the kind of classical curriculum that we wanted. And getting it going from scratch has been a long endeavor. But we started, like I said, about 10 years ago. But just in the last couple of years, we were able to get a principal. It was Brian Sparling, and he's a retired principal from the area and Christian. And he did a great job of opening the doors, and parents wanted that. And so once we actually, surprisingly, were the largest chartered school to open last year in Ohio. So even though it is a hard work, it's beneficial and it's been being productive.
If somebody wanted to enroll their child, what's the process?
They could just come out to the school. They could go on our website, RemaAcademy.com, K-12, .education. They could go online. They could come out and apply. There's Facebook also. You can call me. Yeah.
And do you want to give your number out?
Sure. The number is 740-244-8155.
Now, what would a parent have to know or bring to a meeting about enrolling their child?
It just depends on how serious they are. If they just want to learn about the school, they're welcome to come and just kind of take a tour, maybe meet some teachers that are there and see if this is a fit. They would need to look at our 10 core beliefs and values and make sure that they align with those. And the tuition, the majority of the tuition is actually free for the students.
Oh.
We haven't had anybody had to pay because of the grants that we have from the state. The Ed Choice has allowed us to enroll students free of charge.
So this is essentially free.
Yes, it is.
Is there an acceptance process?
Like I said, they have to agree with our statements of faith.
Right. So what would that be?
You want to know the statement of faith?
Yeah,
oh,
Yeah, that way the parents would know if there's a chance of possibly coming. Because
yes.
when finances are not an issue, I think that makes it a lot easier for people.
That's true. So the number one is that we hold that our Lord God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he fulfills his sovereign purpose in creation, revelation, redemption, judgment, and the coming of his kingdom by calling out from the world a people united to himself and to each other in love. We acknowledge that God wonderfully and immutably created us from conception, male and female, in his own likeness and image. And these are all from the Bible. So we also believe that Jesus Christ, the Father has shown us his holy love in giving us Jesus Christ, his only Son for us, that while through our sinfulness and guilt, we were subject to his wrath and condemnation, and has shown us his grace by putting sinners right with himself when they place their trust in his Son. The Holy Spirit, we believe that the Holy Spirit, who convicts the world of sin in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment, who makes the death of Christ effective to sinners, declaring that we must now turn to Christ in repentance and direct our trust towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Bible, we believe that the Old and New Testament scriptures are God-breathed, since their writers spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The church and the mission, we recognize that the church as the body of Christ held together by the working of his Holy Spirit and growing up in him, both as a total fellowship throughout the world and as a local congregation in which believers gather in fellowship and service. Human life, we believe that God endowed all human life with inherent dignity from conception through every stage in development. Marriage and sexuality, as defined in Scripture, we believe that the term marriage has one meaning. It's marriage sanctioned by God and joins one man with one woman in a single, exclusive, covenantal union. Identity in Christ, believe that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And one of our things is conflict resolution. Rhema Academy encourages families to create a partnership with teachers and school staff focused on the development of their child. So, and then one more thing, the statement of biblical authority, the above statement of faith does not exhaust the extent of our faith. The Bible itself is the inspired and infallible word of God that speaks with finality, authority concerning truth, morality, and the proper conduct of all of its people.
So. And what is the typical class size?
Typical class size is about 7, 8, 9
Not
students
bad.
Right now, yeah.
And how many teachers are involved with the school?
We have 5 teachers right now. We're actually looking for one more. We're hoping to find either an art or music for the upper levels. And they already have it in the lower levels, but we would like somebody more specific for those things.
And where is the school located?
It is on Salem Road. We are located at Salem Global Methodist Church, and that is 1640 Salem Road, I believe.
What are the hours? What's a typical day?
Typical day is like a normal public school day. So we start at 8 a.m. and we finish at 3.
Is there any kind of transportation available?
Yes, actually, because we are on the Ed Choice and the schools actually have to abide by these rules of transporting students to our school. So if there is not a bus available, then they give the finances that would go towards the bus driver to the parents. Hmm. So the parents get those finances at the end of the school year.
Oh, that's very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Is there anything we're forgetting to mention?
Well, I did want to share with you one of the testimonies of one of our families. This is from one of the moms of six. She said that education has always been a top priority for our family. However, after a big move and a surprise addition, I was finding that homeschooling was more difficult and one of my kids seemed to be falling behind. Rhema Academy came in a season where we needed change. They worked with my kids to make sure they accomplished their educational goals. They worked hard to find solutions for one of my children who we found to be struggling due to dyslexia. They didn't treat them like a number or paycheck, but like a mind to grow. Needless to say, as we start our second year at Rhema, we are excited to continue to see growth and to accomplish more educational goals. Rhema Academy is more than a school. It's a community of educators and parents working together to grow minds, character, and amazing human beings.
And did you want to list your board members?
Yes. So our board members... Board of Education is these professionals in our community. Ken Stiverson, he's our reelected commissioner. Howie Smith, he's at Wilson Bohannon Lock Company. Dave Gornflow, he's a retired educator. And Jennifer Krosky, who is an attorney.
A lot of good people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who are very well known in the community. Tara, give the contact information again if people would like to get in touch with you.
All right. So, Tara Klensman, my number is 740-244-8155, and we are located at 1640 Salem Road.
And again, that's 740-244-8155. Tara Klensman. Tara, anything you'd like to leave the audience with today?
I'm just so grateful for the church, I wanted to say, Salem, for housing us this year and last year, and for Marion allowing us to be here, and it's just super exciting.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity for some parents and for some students who might be looking for a different alternative for some issues they may be having, and a lot of changes coming to schools this coming year, so this might be a great option for a lot of people.
That's true.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara Klensman with the Rhema Academy here in Marion, and we thank her for joining us this morning. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we've been talking a lot for the last several weeks about flock cameras and that whole bit. And tonight, that will really come to a head at Marion City Council. Because tonight there is going to be a panel assembled. Now, this panel tonight, I would imagine, will be defending flock cameras. I would imagine Sheriff Bales will be there. I would imagine Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald will be there. And who knows who else will be there. Now, I don't know if it will, if the crowd that was there a couple weeks ago will be there tonight. I guess we will find out. We'll see how that all goes. But that's second floor of City Hall tonight at 6:30 p.m. The big flock camera conversation continues. Does anybody have to say anything in regard to this? 740-383-9944. I think this is going to be interesting because this conversation has been going on a long time now. We've had this conversation on this show for a long time now, and I would imagine tonight that the people who show up who are for getting rid of the flock cameras will hopefully have a decent dialogue with the panel that will be there, I would imagine, to defend keeping the Flock cameras. Now, I did a Facebook Live this past weekend, and this was the major discussion there. Flock cameras, it seems to be that way. And here's what I will say on this particular subject at this point. If the public wants to get rid of them, meaning your city representation wants to get rid of them, then that's probably what will happen. If they don't want to get rid of them, that's probably what's going to happen. But at this point, after all this talk and everything that's happened, barring anything that will happen tonight, I would imagine that there are probably 2 to 3 votes at this point to get rid of them. There may be 3. I would only say at this point that there are 2 definite votes. Now, I think over weeks, votes have went away from it, getting rid of the cameras. I think the first night this was introduced by 5th Ward City Councilman Thad Smith, I believe on that night there was a possibility that they could have had the votes to get rid of these Flock cameras. But I believe because of the discussion and the time that has been put into this, and I believe the conversation tonight with this panel that's being assembled, I would only imagine there are probably 2 definite votes to get rid of them, and possibly 3 at most. So here we are. Is there going to be a compromise made? And what will that compromise be? Now, I also think tonight's meeting will probably go one of 2 ways. There could be a lot of accusations, which has tended to happen in the past. And if that happens, I think people get on the defensive. And if people get on the defensive, then I don't think much really gets accomplished. I don't think anybody's mind gets changed, and I think we just kind of leave, and no minds are changed. Or there could be a dialogue tonight, and maybe we will get somewhere with that dialogue, but that's kind of how I see what will happen tonight. I think it could be an animated meeting, but I'm not always sure that animated meetings make for the best conversation. But, again, that's just me. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you've got anything to say in regard to the big Flock camera conversation, which I'm sure will be happening tonight, 6:30, second floor of City Hall. And as I've said before, I don't know exactly what, you know, I was having a discussion, maybe it was on Saturday night during the Facebook Live conversation, but I was saying, you know, the Flock cameras in the county are not going to go away. Now, this is all about the city at this point, and who in Marion does not drive in the county at this particular point? I mean, I don't know how you would avoid, if you lived in Marion City, driving in the county with Mount Vernon Avenue, most of the businesses being in the county. So, it's kind of an interesting point, and I hope a lot of people show up tonight. The people that showed up 2 weeks ago, I hope they show up tonight, because their voice certainly does deserve to be heard. I guess at this point, though, I don't know what argument will change people's mind. And by people, I mean council people who will be voting on this. And I also mean people on this panel tonight, which again, I would assume will include the sheriff, the police chief, so on and so forth. But if anybody's got anything to say, feel free. 740-383-9944. And as I've been saying for a couple weeks now, I think the fact that the city is in fiscal emergency is the much bigger story, is the much more, it's going to have more impact over time, but doesn't really get the attention that the Flock camera story has got, because the Flock camera story is just one of those stories that's a little more salacious for people. It's a little more flashy. It's a story going on around the country right now. A lot of newspapers writing about it, a lot of social media sites writing about it, what's going on in other communities. So it's just one of those topics right now that people find very interesting. So because of that, it's become a flashy topic, and we'll see where it all goes, I guess. 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free to weigh in. We love to hear from you, the listening audience. Now, the other thing I wanted to say, I don't remember if I said this Friday or not, but I do believe I said it on the broadcast on Saturday night. One of my traits in life is to self-diagnose people. Well, let's take the phone call, then we'll come back to this. Because we always want to hear from people. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you that the, you know, the financials of the city are very important things. I hear what you're saying about the sensationalism and, you know, people like the shiny objects, you know, everybody rubbernecks the accidents and things like that. But it's also the 250th anniversary of Americans gaining their independence and fighting for that independence and gaining these rights. And just maybe you're right, or maybe, you know, we're both right in that people care about their rights. People are worried about losing them. And yes, cameras are everywhere. And yes, Flock cameras are in the city, in the county, in other cities, all over the state, all over the United States. We have to, if the people of Marion have to start in Marion. It sounds almost defeatist, like, well, what's the point of fighting these Flock cameras and trying to protect your rights in Marion, Ohio? Because they're still going to be in the county, people. That just doesn't make, you know, I mean, so it's kind of, I mean, and I'm not coming at you, Scott, but it just comes across like you're saying, you know, you're wasting your time, people. Unless you can get rid of them everywhere, why are we even doing this? And maybe, just maybe, it's all about our rights and not losing them.
Well, no, I guess what I'm saying is that, again, if people would like to get rid of them in the city, and they can convince the people, the representation, to do that after tonight's meeting, then that's what will happen. But I think my guess would be that if anybody brings up their constitutional rights, the law enforcement will probably say that the courts have ruled on our side in this one. And they say it is not a violation of your constitutional rights. So I think that's where that argument will go.
And here's what, I hear what you're saying, and you probably got some, there's absolute truth to what you're saying on some degree. I also know that at some point the Supreme Court supported slavery in the United States. At some point the Supreme Court supported blacks couldn't vote. At some point the Supreme Court supported that women couldn't vote. At some point, the Supreme Court supported that children could work in factories, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. So if we're going to look at this as, well, again, we're, you know, don't talk about your rights because it's just going to ruin it, Phil, because the Supreme Court has sided in their favor. At one point, the Supreme Court sided in favor of abortion, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't it just change?
It did.
Should all those people who fought for it to change all those years, should they not have fought?
No, but what I would say is the laws did not change until the Supreme Court changed. And
no, I get it.
Right.
I get it, but I mean, do you hear my point, though? You're kind of saying that the police, and I agree with you, the police are going to get up and say exactly what you said they're going to say. The people still need to fight this fight. I'm not saying, I agree with you. There needs to be dialogue. There needs to be a rapport. There needs to be a conversation. It shouldn't be this accusation thing and all of this. The part I disagree with, what I see, what you're saying, is that it's almost like it's a waste of time, because if we can't, you know, if we can't get rid of them in the county too, or so we got rid of them, say we get rid of them in the Marion City and Marion County. Well, guess what? People, so you can go into another county, they're there. So we need to get rid of them. It's a start of something. At some point, 250 years ago, I mean, people wanted to get out of the control of the king. And a lot of people told him, like, well dude, it's already established. It's already happening. You know, you're not gonna beat this, you know?
No, I don't think anything's a waste of time. And I think I said, I hope that the crowd is as big tonight as it was 2 weeks ago. I just know that the last, and I certainly don't think it's a waste of time, because there's going to be a panel assembled tonight to take these questions that people have. So I certainly think that's worthwhile. I just know that the last time that something like this happened, which I believe was in 2023, and there was a panel there, the people who wanted to get rid of them got very passionate and did not like the answers that law enforcement was giving.
Right.
And it devolved very quickly. And I think if that happens again tonight, I don't know that that changes anybody's mind. Who's actually going to be voting?
I agree. But I also will say that if and when that happens, does that mean, and you know, the police stand up and they vote for and they're going to keep them, I'm going to say to everybody, that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we accept defeat. You know, you win battles, you lose battles. It's about winning the war. You know, and you learn from it. And same thing from those battles, you learn from it. And that's my suggestion to everybody. You know, this is all a learning thing. I'm not encouraging anybody to come up and go to war. I understand passion, though. I'm a passionate person. I 100%. I mean, we live in a Marion County who, I mean, you've got police involved in every aspect of government. You know, even in the county. So, I mean, who you'd almost be a moron to not think that they're going to push for, vote for keeping these. It's the good fight. I would encourage people to remember back in the day when you watched the old detective shows and all that the police always had to get a warrant to track people. You know, they had to have probable cause. They had to approach a judge and say, here's what we think Phil Townsend's doing. We think he's doing this, this, and this. And then the judge would say, okay, you can now commit manpower and you can commit resources to tracking Mr. Townsend and where he goes and all of his, you know, locations and all of that. You know, these flock cameras do away with warrants. They can track your movements. They can track you all the way across the United States. And that's not right. Can some good come from being able to do those things? Absolutely. you know. But do you want to throw away all your rights and let the, I mean, because as I keep saying, you compromise a little bit, you give them an inch, and then next thing you know, they're going to want a little more, and they're going to say, well, you've already given us this. It's all, and that's what they're doing right now. There's cameras everywhere. You can't beat this. It's inevitable. You know, Chief McDonald already said, we're going to have drones soon. We're going to have this. They already got drones. We're going to have this, that, and the other. So just accept it. You just need to get used to it, people. No, you don't get used to it. The colonists were told, get used to it. We, you know, the older people were telling the younger people, saying, you know, this is how it's always been. We've always been under this king and always been under this rule, and we can't beat him. We're just a little continental army, and they're the biggest empire in the world. So just, you know, you're wasting your time, people. And I'm sure there were a lot of passionate people, and I'm sure there were a lot of people that, and they learned from it. And I encourage everybody to do that today. So I'm going to get off here. Again, I look forward to seeing everybody there or anybody there. And, you know, I encourage dialogue, and I encourage both sides to understand that, you know, this means something to, you know, rights are, your rights were fought and died for many, many times over. Don't give one of them away, regardless of whether you're doing anything wrong or right. So,
hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open here today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We always welcome and encourage the phone calls. You know, just want to say again, I hope as many people show up tonight as did a couple weeks ago and have these discussions. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. Good morning. I just wanted to echo, I agree with what a lot of the last caller said, and I thought it was an interesting point that you were, that I guess you both raised about this about this panel that will have several members of law enforcement on it and the like. I'm not sure that the best people to answer concerns about the about people's constitutional rights and to quell those concerns are the police, with all respect to them. I mean, it, when it comes to procedure and trying to obtain warrants and, you know, kind of go along in investigations, it makes their job harder having to follow the Constitution and to follow people's rights. I mean, that's what our country is, but that makes their job harder. So I don't think they're going to be the best people to answer people's concerns. If they're, you know, really serious about some sort of a dialogue, you know, now, I might not sound super informed here because I've been out of the loop for a while, but if the city council is putting together some sort of a panel, I feel like it should have, I don't know about independent-minded people, but some, you know, some attorneys who are actually, you know, familiar with any court cases that the police might refer to, laws on the books.
Well,
in Ohio and around the country.
Well, I think why the panel is being put together is there have been certain assertions that have been made about what these cameras can do, where the money came from, what are they doing with the information, how does the process work, how many cameras are there, all that sort of thing. And that's something that law enforcement could answer. And I don't think they've ever been questioned directly on it. And I think tonight they will get to be questioned directly on it. And the public can ask them anything they like, I'm sure, tonight. So I think that's where this particular issue is going, because at some point, but that's why I also feel there's a great potential tonight for it to devolve very quickly, because people are passionate about the flock camera issue. And I think if somebody asks a question and law enforcement answers it in a way that they don't like or that they don't believe, I feel it's not going to change their mind. I don't think there's a whole lot of compromise on this issue, and I think that's one of the problems.
Yeah, and when, like, you know, you're dealing with anyone in the public sphere, and, you know, I guess I'm sure I've done this several times, both, you know, when I'm talking to you and when I'm talking to anyone, but politicians have a tendency to pivot. And I think a lot of, especially now as just people are becoming, you know, more informed, people will recognize a pivot when they see one. And this is, you know, like you said, there's really no compromise on this issue. So if, you know, the sheriff or the police chief or is asked a very pointed and direct question and, you know, someone feels like they're holding something back or they're not answering the question fully, that's where, you know, that's where things will start to go wrong. And, you know, this is the point of our country is these, you know, free and open and most importantly respectful debates where, you know, a city comes together to solve some really, you know, difficult, pressing issue. So I hope that, I don't know, I'm just, I don't have that much new to say other than I hope that it's informative, but that it's also, you know, stays productive, so something good can come out of it.
Well, I just, as I was saying with the last caller and kind of the little speech I was giving earlier, is I think what has the potential to happen is that the accusation has been made many times in these meetings that this is against our constitutional rights. But I do believe, and I'm not totally versed in this, that a lot of the courts have ruled on this, that this is not a violation of people's constitutional rights, specifically the flock cameras. So I would imagine that's what law enforcement is going to say. Now, that could change over time. Courts do change their rulings over time. But tonight, I think that's where we still are. And if that's the argument, I don't know where it goes from there.
I would agree. And I think when the, you know, a lot of people, the problem is about court cases is that they're court cases and they're the circumstances often difficult to understand, and even though these, you know, circumstances might lead you to think of one answer, all the legalese might point to another answer that people don't really understand. And when people see flock cameras, you know, like, you see viral stories online of, you know, people being negatively impacted by them, and they don't see, you know, if there's any... They don't really see anything on the internet, which that's how everyone gets their news. Or, you know, they don't see stories on 10 TV about how great flock cameras are and how effective they are at solving crime. So I think it's really important, you know, to play devil's advocate here, you know, that there is an argument made if, by, I guess, both sides. I mean, I think the anti-flock people need to have something coherent and not just a devolving into you hate my constitutional rights, you know, and this, that, and the other, because those slippery slopes don't work. But also, law enforcement can't just go back and make the assertion that, you know, if you somehow don't support flock cameras and you want our cities to be less safe, that's not going to work either. And that is how, you know, we talked about the Patriot Act a couple of weeks ago. That's what all the Patriot Act supporters said. I'm not comparing, you know, this is like comparing apples and oranges, but it's very easy to go back to, you know, those logical fallacies that people use in debates, and this is, that's, you know, something that I could see happening tonight.
Well, and also, because I've seen this conversation, and I'm not saying everybody who's gotten up, who does not support flock cameras has said this, but a lot of people have a lot of distrust in law enforcement. And I would guess that this panel tonight is going to be made up of law enforcement. And if the approach is, we don't trust you right off the bat, well, you know, what kind of conversation is that going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one last point. I mean, I don't think it really would be a conversation. That's why you need to bring in people. Granted, I don't know how this works, so this might not be in the rules or what have you, but it needs to be more than just law enforcement, because, you know, if it's just one-sided, then it'll be shut out. So,
well, you know what? Well,
I've got to run, but I appreciate the time, and I will see you all tonight.
Yes, look forward to it. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, of course.
All right, and again, the phone lines are always open here. See, it's a dialogue that people do want to have. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I just hope that it's a conversation tonight and that people listen to the answers that are given. And maybe it's not so accusational on anybody's behalf tonight, and that it is a conversation that can be held. Second floor, City Hall, tonight at 6:30 p.m. I think it's going to be interesting. And again, I don't know who's going to be on the panel, but I would have to guess that law enforcement would be on the panel. And as I said a few seconds ago, there seems to be a distrust of certain law enforcement from certain members of the community. And if you don't trust them and you don't trust what they say, then again, I think we're back to square one. But whether you want to get rid of them or you don't want to get rid of them, tonight really is all about what impact is this having on the people who will be voting for this, the city council members, if it ever gets to council. See, that's the big thing here. It's not so much what I think. It's not so much what law enforcement thinks. It's what those council members think. Those council members, which are holding this legislation in their committee, and also if it should make it to city council with the idea that they're going to vote to remove the flock cameras, are there enough people there to vote to remove them? Those are the people you've got to convince. So that's where we are. We've got a break coming up here, but we've got a whole nother hour right after this. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Much more conversation on the other side of this break.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.